Every Tuesday around 4:45, the Gadget Guru joins us to give us an insight into his wonderful world of tech. Some would say his wonderful world of geek. Which one is it? Paul Bristow, good afternoon. Welcome. Great to see you.
Hi, Tony. Good to see you too.
Tech or geek? Or both?
Tech. Definitely.
Tech. What do you love about the world of tech? Were you always drawn to the world of tech since you were a kid? Because there wasn't as much tech around back then.
Yes, there is a long set of stories from my mother about me taking things apart. But I think my favourite one was when we were doing a science experiment at school. And we had the experiment where you have this little trolley on wheels. And you have to mark the dots to see how fast the speed of gravity is.
Hmm.
And we did this experiment, and I was at the back of the class and with my colleague. We dismantled the thing to see how it worked. And by the time the teacher got around to us to find out if the dots were all right,
we
had the trolley
completely in
pieces all over the desk. She completely freaked out and then said, "Okay, as long as it's back and working, we'll say no more about it." And of course we put it back together and it worked, and we had no spare parts left over. That told us that we were both destined to become engineers at this point.
I think we've all got a story about a science experiment gone wrong. I'll tell you mine one day. I'll save that for a rainy day.
Excellent.
The name William Cachel comes to mind, but I'll share that with you another time. And I'm sure any parent listening right now could relate to stories of kids that have pulled things apart and haven't really been able to get them back together.
Paul, that's the test,
isn't it? One thing to pull it apart.
You know where to go, yep.
Yeah. Got many things lying around at home at the moment that have been pulled apart?
I have two half-finished projects, let's say. There's one that's been in the garage for like 4 years.
What is it?
That's a laser harp in construction.
A what?
A laser harp.
Like a
harp, but yeah, where the strings are actually laser beams instead of
strings. Do you play the harp?
No.
You're going to have to bring the laser harp into the studio when you finish it in 4 years' time and play it for us.
Yeah, you might be right on the timing there.
The question why comes to mind, a laser harp, Paul?
Well, I am a musician in my spare time, so I like electronic instruments. And actually, I was giving an Arduino workshop with children, teaching them how to make lights light up. And we said, well, why can't we make the light light up instead of with a button, with a laser? And I happened to have a laser pointer in my bag. And we had a little sensor that could be used to detect the laser beam. So we made that work. And when you interrupted the laser beam, the light came on. And then we said, ooh, what if we connected that to something that made noise? And we had somebody with us that knew how, a processing application that made music. So we took this and we made the laser beam make the music, and then we put multiple laser beams, and we very quickly, in less than half an hour, built a laser-controlled musical instrument.
And that's why we call him the Gadget Guru. It's Drive Time Tuesday afternoon, World Radio Switzerland.
Just another day in the life of the Gadget Guru.
Just another day in the garage for the Gadget.
Yep.
I think we are going to call it the wonderful world of geek. But listen, what have you got for us today?
This week, I want to talk about the Internet of Things.
The Internet being such a big part of our lives. How do you define or describe the Internet of Things, Paul?
So the Internet of Things is all of those little tiny gadgets and things that what happens when you connect them to the Internet. So, it used to be that your typical thing to be connected to the Internet was a computer, then a tablet, smartphone, etc. But now you're getting computers that are this sort of size, and I'm holding up something about
a postage
stamp or so, and even smaller. So this is quite a big one for an Internet of Things.
Stop boasting.
Yeah. And fundamentally, what it starts to do is add intelligence, or at least it should add intelligence to objects, to say what would be more useful about this object if it was connected or connectable to the Internet. And the obvious thing is if you put in like the sensors that track you when you're moving, like we discussed on the healthcare side of things. But I've seen everything from internet-connected socks that track how many steps you're taking. But then you have things like all of these internet-connected lighting, so the domotic systems in French, how you switch your lights on and off. And actually, most of the time, if you think about it, yes, you want to be able to switch your lights on and off, but you more likely want to know, is your light still on? Did you leave the lights
on?
Sure.
And what's it costing me by leaving it on?
Right.
So I guess this is where the intelligence comes into play. I mean, are these things, you know, it's nothing new to a certain degree. We've been hearing about internet-enabled or internet-connected fridges, for example.
For a very long time. And they don't work because humans don't cooperate.
I still don't know anyone that has one. And if you do have one, I want to know what it's like using an internet-connected fridge.
I think the best one I saw was a diet mode that stopped you snacking during the night.
It locks.
It refused to open the door.
Oh, look, the mind boggles. The practical part of me says internet-enabled or internet-connected socks. How do you wash them?
Ah, there you just... You've got some electronics that can be washed. So it depends what exactly you have on the board. But there's wearable electronics from companies like Adafruit. The LilyPad electronics are specifically designed to be able to be washed.
And I guess others that you can
You do need to remove the battery.
What are some of the current practical applications? You're talking about the socks, we're talking about the fridges, but the internet of things, what is now, what is hot, what is current?
So, as we discussed, wearables are really, really big in the Internet of Things, but the thing that's starting to get interesting is when you start to track all of the data around you. I give an example. I have the Net Atmo system at home, which is a set of devices that measures air quality and temperature and pressure and sound level.
Net Atmo.
Yep.
Net Atmo. One word?
Net Atmo. N-E-T-A-T-M-O. Mm-hmm. And what these things do is it lets you see what the temperature is in your house.
So
you can measure stuff. But it does it over time. And it does it over time throughout your entire house. And you get a set of graphs on your tablet, on your computer. And then after a little while, you notice that, okay, it's very cool to know that your living room is at 19 degrees and the bedroom is a little bit cooler. And you can see how these temperatures go up as the sun comes on things and as it goes down when it's really cold outside. So you can see how effective your insulation is. What starts to become interesting is you see from the graphs, you can measure how many people are in the house.
Really?
Because the CO2 levels
precise?
Go up
yes.
by a different level depending on how many people are in. You can see from the noise levels and the CO2 emission when people come into the house, when they
Isn't
leave,
that interesting?
Which room they're in.
Does it detect methane levels as well? I'm just curious.
this particular one doesn't. There are other sensors you can get that do that.
I wonder if it can tell how many people are in the house from the methane levels. Yep. What now, does that help you to save money? What does that allow you to do on your energy costs, for example?
Well, certainly on the Net Atmo, it allows you to regulate your heating system appropriately. But it also allows you to make sure that you're ventilating your house properly because you're measuring the carbon dioxide levels. And when you leave a room, the carbon dioxide levels, if it's well ventilated, should fall so that you can see that the actual ventilation system, something that you generally don't think about in your house, is working effectively.
Net Atmo, if you'd like to find out more. What is the Internet of Things item, appliance, object, Paul Bristow, that you would like to have in your Internet of Things at home or in your clothing?
The one I'd really like would be a self-charging security drone. There's a lovely little drone about 6 inches across, which it doesn't charge itself yet. But I would really like to have that so that if I can just take a sneaky look around the house when I'm not there.
you always make me laugh. What does your partner think about all of this when Paul says at home, darling, I'd like to get a self-charging security drone just to sort of keep an eye on things when we're not here. What's the response?
She has two responses. One is no cables ever.
Good response.
Yeah, that's the main response.
And
the other response is I'm strictly forbidden from making anything switch on and off when she's there and I'm not.
So she doesn't get
scared. Without her knowing this.
There you go.
And that comes from experience, unfortunately.
Okay, it sounds like it's happened before.
It has, yeah.
And then he gets sent out to the garage to work on that laser harp.
Yep.
We need to talk more about science experiments gone wrong another day. It's always great to see you. I've got one for you today. Steve Jobs was born on this day in 1955. When I was going through my music history for today, actually that popped up as a celebrity birthday. Steve Jobs, born on this day in 1955. I wanted to ask you the question, and I'll ask our listeners as well. Apart from his legacy, what do you think was Steve Jobs' greatest creation at Apple?
The greatest creation at Apple?
Mm.
I think, if anything, it has to be the intimate relationship that he created with the touchscreen. Because turning it from a device that you used a stylus for, so it's like a sheet of paper at one remove, to a device that became effectively part of you, where you're touching it with your fingers, it's really part of you. That is probably the biggest significant difference that he's made.
Only a response that the gadget guru could give us. I'm going to ask our listeners as well, what do you, apart from his legacy, what do you think was Steve Jobs' greatest creation? Got a favourite product in mind, a product you like to use, one from the past perhaps that introduced you to the world of tech? Text those answers through to us, 939. Be interesting to see what you come up with. Start your message with WS, or you can email studio@worldradio.ch. We'll get that conversation going on Drive Time this afternoon. Steve Jobs, born on this day, 1955. What was his greatest creation? I enjoyed that response, Paul. I enjoyed seeing you as well. Look forward to next Tuesday, 4:45. If you'd like to get in touch with the Gadget Guru, do not hesitate. He is at panglosslabs.org. You spell that PANGLOSSLABS, panglosslabs.org, to get in touch with the Gadget. See you later.
See ya.